dive into an ocean of possibilities with the DKM program of the American Council of the Blind. Get connected and build a strong leadership foundation. Apply to become a 2024 recipient of the Durward K. McDaniel First Timers Award. Get curious, explore, become engaged, and focus on making impactful contributions. Apply to become a 2024 ACB JP Morgan Chase Leadership Fellow. If selected, you'll be sponsored to attend the ACB Conference and Convention and learn how to navigate the waves of leadership from mentors and leaders of ACB. Don't delay. Apply today. For more information and to complete the application, visit www.acb.org/DKM.
Opinions expressed on ACB Media are those of the respective program contributors and do not necessarily reflect the views held by the American Council of the Blind, its elected officials, or its staff.
Hello, everyone, and welcome. This is Tabitha Kenlin speaking. I am the Audio Description Project Coordinator for ACB, and this is, I believe, the fourth installment in the occasional series ADP in Conversation. Past episodes are available on ACB Media and the ADP website, which is adp.acb.org. And of course, you can find lots of interesting and exciting things about the Audio Description Project and audio description on the website as well. Today is a very exciting show because we are here to talk with the one, the only Dr. Joel Snyder. He is a name and a voice that really needs no introduction. He is the founder of the Audio Description Project. And I'm just going to hand it over to you, Joel. Tell us a little bit more about your career, how you got to be the fabulous AD advocate that you are.
Oh, my goodness. Thank you so much, Tabitha. Tabitha and I are members of a mutual admiration society. That introduction was lovely, Tabitha. And let me say that ACB is so fortunate to have a full-time ADP coordinator, and certainly in the person of Dr. Tabitha Kenlin. You've been doing this for a year now, a little bit more than a year, I guess,
yes.
And it has been wonderful to have you as a part of it. And I've taken a step back. I'm now the founding director emeritus. So I'm still involved doing the Audio Description Institutes and sit on the steering committee, but taking a step back, doing all kinds of other audio description related things. So anyway, Tabitha, it's great to have you there as the ADP coordinator. The Audio Description Project was the outgrowth of an idea that I had, along with Chris Gray and Mitch Pomerantz, two former presidents of the ACB. The idea being, you know, it's great to see audio description growing in this country and around the world, but how can we make sure that keeps on happening? How can we make sure, indeed, that people who are blind, that's the primary audience for audio description, that they know as much as possible about description, where to find description, what are the ins and outs of description, and can we do programs or initiatives that help spur more interest in description? So that idea really was the genesis of building an audio description project. And you refer to me as the founder, certainly, and I appreciate that, but it's really with ACB that makes this all happen. And that happened right around, 2010 or so, if I've got that, 2009, 2010. So we've been around 13, 14 years now. And I think most people probably know the Audio Description Project because of the website, which is the website master is Fred Brack, who does just a great job in detailing, especially what is on media with description. What can you turn on just broadcast television right now, and will it have description? And nowadays, of course, streaming services. What streaming services offer audio description and such? All that information is on the website. I'll mention it again, Tabitha, adp.acb.org. But there's so much more there, because audio description, you know, began in performing arts. And so we list by state what performing arts spaces in your state have audio description on a regular basis. What museums have audio description in your state on a regular basis? And then beyond that, all kinds of, oh golly, other little projects. I'm sure you're going to want to bring up some of them, like the Beatty Project, the benefits of audio description in education, and our training institutes and awards. But so we've grown a great deal beyond just the website. And it's just been wonderful to see that happen, and to see you and Fred usher that along, of course, with Kim Charlson and Carl Richardson, who are the two chairs of the steering committee for the Audio Description Project.
Yeah. So it's a great little tease there for the rest of our conversation.
Yeah, sure.
I think a lot of people do know about the ADP primarily through the website and the title catalog. I think, what was it, sometime in the fall, I think maybe November or so, there are now more than 10,000 titles of films and series with audio description. But yeah, as you say, the audio description itself and the ADP is more than only the website and only film. And I think that's one thing that I spent the better part of a year trying to this big octopus shaped ADP, all the different initiatives and sort of branches of the ADP, getting familiar with them. We're actually in the process of redesigning the website, and I've been sort of people who know me know that I love to write. So I've been doing some revising and trying to organize some of the plethora of information that's on the site. And I decided to do sort of a timeline of the Audio Description Project from its inception, and then the different sort of, programs within the project that have been introduced. And it was really interesting to see that, it's not like it got started in 2010 and people have just kind of been, running on the same hamster wheel. Every few years, there's something new that comes up, whether it's the ADP Awards or the Awards Gala or Beatty, there's just always something new, which I think is great, to grow and expand and is a very, lively, living entity. So can you tell us, Joel, since you've been with it the whole every step of the way, what are some of your favorite initiatives and branches of ADP? Are there some that are sort of particularly close to your heart, and you can tell us a little bit about how they came about and sure. What makes them so special?
Well, as I mentioned, I still direct the Audio Description Institute, which is a project or an initiative, I guess I should say, a program of the Audio Description Project. Twice a year, we offer really pretty intensive training in audio description, what it means to be an audio describer, which I try to emphasize that an audio describer is really the person that creates the language, writes the description that you hear with media, and even in performing arts, whether or not it's actually written out as a script is one thing, but they're creating the language, and they may be doing it extemporaneously. That's the audio describer. And then with media, it's oftentimes voiced by somebody else. And a lot of folks will say, oh, I love that audio describer. His voice is wonderful. Well, that's a voice talent, a narrator, perhaps, who is voicing the words of an audio description, of an audio describer, who's put that all together. The Institute focuses on the writing of audio description. And, ever since COVID, we've been doing it by remote. We seem to reach a lot more people that way. And so the next one is, we do it twice a year. The next one is April April 8th through the 12th. That's what it is. Yes. April 8th through the 12th, 5 days, half days from 1 to 5 each day. And then we do another one in the that's kind of the spring ish session. And then we do one in the winter I guess that would be the spring, winter, spring. And then we'll do another one in the fall in September as well. So the Audio Description Institute is something that we've done just about from the beginning. And as I say, we used to actually gather together at the ACB convention and do that so that we would benefit from having all these potential users of description with us, or at the leadership meeting. And we've kind of shifted away from that a little bit. We've lost that connection, which is a shame. I imagine we'll do some in-person ones in the future once again.
Stick my oar in. I was lucky enough to audit the first ADI, since I joined ACB about this time, actually last year, I think. Right. It was in February last year. And it was very interesting, very enjoyable. And one thing that I think is really important to point out is that it is inclusive. Obviously Joel is the head, professor, if you will. But he's surrounded by knowledgeable faculty of audio description professionals and consumers who are on the blindness spectrum and who are sighted, and participants in class. I mean, I have low vision, but I fully participated in class, and I did the group work, and I helped create a description. I was actually the voice talent for one of my groups.
That's right.
So I've made my audio description debut. An important thing to point out is that it's for people, who are blind and have low vision, and also by people who are blind and have low
vision. That's so great that you emphasize that, because indeed, audio description developed in 1980-81 in the performing arts right here in Washington, D.C. I was fortunate to be a part of that group. It was led by a blind woman. Mm-hmm. And even before that, Dr. Margaret Fanstiel, even before that, a man named Chet Avery with the Department of Education had been exploring with how to do description on television, and could that be funded by the United States government and such. Mm-hmm. A blind man, so some of the best consultants, call them writers, even if you will, of description are folks who are totally blind. Some of the best voice talents are totally blind. Some of the best audio editors are totally blind. So we always have folks who are blind, who are consumers of description in the training, sharpening their skills, getting to know what description is about. And indeed, on the faculty as well, it has been so great to have, for instance, Susan Glass from California and Tris Snyder from Arizona as part of our faculty. Tris, for instance, is a well-trained audio editor and voice talent of description, and consultant, a quality control consultant on description, totally blind. Susan's totally blind, and you couldn't ask for a better English instructor, language person than Susan Glass. She's a published poet herself, and so it's great having them as part of the Institute. And then we have so many other initiatives, really. One thing I think about, we don't do quite as much lately, and maybe it's a good thing. And what I'm talking about is actually getting into the production of audio description. When we started doing this at one point early on, I guess about 2010, 2011, we thought, well, maybe ACB should apply for one of those Department of Education grants and actually produce description. It's for people who are blind. Why shouldn't it be by people who are blind, as I just alluded to? We sort of went into it a little bit half-heartedly, because we didn't want to step on the toes of the wonderful description producers that exist around the country. So we didn't forge ahead with that kind of major initiative creative to produce description on a regular basis with broadcast television. But we have done some wonderful projects, special events, special projects. We developed the first ever audio described tour of the White House. And that was during President Obama's second administration. It kind of went away during the COVID and during the Trump administration. And we're working on trying to get that back on the boards in the Biden administration. We did, we produced audio description broadcast nationally on ACB radio for the eclipse that was back in, that was 2017, as I recall. And we actually had describers in Tennessee do description of the eclipse as it occurred, live description. I kind of hosted the program. It was an hour-long program, and we had a lot of fun with music. We had, Ain't No Sunshine When It's Gone, that kind of thing. All kinds of music. And, Here Comes the Sun by the Beatles and such. But the centerpiece of the program was having describers in Tennessee actually describe the eclipse, I should say. Excuse me. So we've tried to keep our hands in there a little bit. We actually did two of the first ever live descriptions for a presidential inauguration. It was early on. WGBH and ACB were the only ones doing that kind of live description. Now, NBC, CBS, they've been experimenting with live description, which is great. When they broadcast something live, it can be made accessible. Yeah, so it's great to see that happen. So those are a few of the little description producing things that we have done. Don't do so much of it these days because there are such wonderful description producers out there picking that up.
Oh, I didn't even know that. Thank you.
Oh yeah, sure.
This is why I wanted to talk to you. I'm just going to get a little history lesson. I love it.
No, that's right. Yeah, that could be kind of the chronology of the ADP. I can share other stuff with you about that as you put that together.
Yeah, please do. I think it's really I'm a believer in the importance of history. Sort of what we've done, and so we can kind of learn from the past, and
it
will inform our direction in the future. So great, thank you.
Sure.
I know that you and I, Joel, have both a soft spot in our hearts for education. So
sure.
I'm not surprised that you you talked about the Institute.
Yes.
And because Beatty is one of my favorite things that we do. The essay contest.
That's just great fun. As I mentioned, Beatty is an acronym, BADIE, for Benefits of Audio Description in Education, and that was sort of a half part brainchild of mine, but half part kind of picking up on something that had happened in the UK in early in the 2000s, but only for a year or two. It began as the title of it was a mouthful. We began it as called the Young Described Film Critic Contest. And what does that mean exactly? So Dan Spoon, and I want to give Dan plenty of credit here because he was the former chair of the Audio Description Project Committee, Steering Committee. And he got together with Susan Glass and said, this is such a great program. Let's title it something that's a little makes more sense. So that's how we got Benefits of Audio Description in Education. And yes, it's an essay contest for blind kids, and they write short reviews of described media. We do this whole contest in conjunction with the Described and Captioned Media Program, DCMP, a major program on accessibility funded by the Department of Education. Its whole mission is to make sure that educational videos throughout K through 12 especially are accessible via captions, via audio description. So this contest is a partnership with them. Kids write these essays, and we kind of divide them up into different age ranges and give prizes to the best ones and prizes to their teachers. And we're coming right up on a deadline. Is that right, Tabitha, or did we pass it already?
No, we Monday is the deadline. So if you are a parent or a teacher or a kid and you're wondering what to do on the long weekend,
there's still time.
Set yourself down and watch some described media and write a little essay.
Absolutely.
Evaluating the quality of that description.
And you can find more information. I guess just going to the website is probably the mm-hmm. best way, adp.acb.org. There should be a link there to a page that's maintained by the Described and Captioned Media Program. So a shout out to Jason Stark, who is its director. He's just a great guy. And they've done just wonderful things for education and accessibility.
Thank you.
Yeah, Beatty.
I was hoping we would get a little plug in there.
A last minute plug and a push for that. I absolutely.
I mean, students always wait until the last minute.
That's true. That's probably true. Yeah.
And so do teachers. I've had to submit papers on the day they were due. So.
That's right.
No criticism for me, just sympathy.
Oh, yeah.
So I know it's hard to choose, but do you have a favorite ADP moment from the last, 13-14 years, something that just sort of stands out as, like, I don't know. I mean, it doesn't even have to be sort of the biggest achievement or something, but just, that warm, fuzzy feeling.
I'm just sort of thinking off the top of my head, and we were just talking about Beatty, and what we started doing more of in the last few years is actually having the winners. We have a winner in each age range category, and then we have a grand prize winner who actually presents his or her essay at the ACB convention and on ACB radio. And that has been just so wonderful to see and hear kids, and usually they're, maybe some of the older kids that end up as our grand prize winners actually making that presentation. It's so great to see them have the opportunity to put words together, obviously. And sometimes some of the entries are in Braille, some of them are via email, some of them are recorded, and then to have those kids actually up in front of 1,000, 2,000 convention goers at the ACB convention and speaking to that large group, that's really been wonderful to see. And in fact, we've had one or two of those grand prize winners be part of our Beatty subcommittee, as I recall, and actually helping. In fact, I think we have one or two now, they're graduate students or something. They're all grown up because we've been doing the thing for, over 10 years. So that's always great to see. Some of the, we've had conventions, audio description project conventions, kind of like, conventions within the convention or conference of ACB, where we focused on audio description project issues, audio description issues, all manner of aspects of audio description. In the last few years, again, it's a legacy of COVID. We've kind of gone ahead with having them virtually, which increase our reach, I guess. And then, of course, people don't have to worry about coming from wherever to the convention site itself, paying for travel and lodging and all of that. Although being all together nothing replaces that, really. But we've had those. So the last 3 or 4 years, I think it is, we've done an audio description project convention within the ACB convention. And I know that we're just... We started working on the convention, the audio description project sessions. I think that's all going to happen right at the end of June. Isn't that right, Tabitha?
Yes. So there's the kind of the virtual part of the ACB conference and convention. The ADP conference is part of that. And I believe it's the last Thursday, Friday, Saturday in June 27th, 28th, 29th.
I think that's right.
Yeah.
I think that's right. I'm looking at the calendar. Maybe it's 25, 26, 27. I'm looking. I think that's right. That last Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm looking at the wrong month. You're absolutely right. Oh, boy. I'm sorry. That's silly.
I'll send you an email reminder beforehand. It's okay.
Yeah,
we won't let you miss it.
that's right. June, you're right. June 27th, 28th, 29th. Exactly. all kinds of sessions, obviously at the ACB conference writ large, but the audio description portion of it will be have sessions on, well, I know I'm coordinating one on artificial intelligence. Tabitha, you're doing one or two different sessions. I'm trying to remember what we just talked about that this past week.
Well, one of them is actually going to be audio description in education, and I'm going to I'm going to have a chat next week with our one of our resident experts, Susan Glass, to bounce some ideas off of her, because I have too many ideas for one panel, so I'm gonna let her rein me in a little bit, and then we're also gonna do a panel in conjunction with DeCapta about translating audio description.
Yes, DeCapta is really the leading provider of captions and description for broadcast television in Spanish. Shout out to Maria Victoria Diaz and her group of folks there at DeCapta. And I think Kim is coordinating a session on audio description and dance.
Yes.
Which is, you know, people think of, that started in theater. Well, what about other performing arts forms? You know, there's a lot of good description around the country in opera, musical theater, but even dance as well. And it really helps bring an art form that, maybe it just isn't, it doesn't have the same amount of involvement by people who are blind or have low vision, but why not? You know, and as audience members, as performers themselves. So there's more and more of that happening. I'm looking forward to that session.
Yeah, it's going to be. I think Carl is going to talk to some of the smaller streaming services. The last couple of years, he's talked to sort of the big guys. But there are a lot of teeny tiny little kind of very specialized sort of niche streaming services popping up, and it's great to see that a lot of them are doing the audio description. That it is increasingly just kind of normal.
That'll be a great session
to provide that. So yeah,
that'll be a great session. Carl Richardson again is a co-chair with Kim Charlson of the Audio Description Project Steering Committee, but Carl also chairs the media subcommittee, and boy, you couldn't ask for a more knowledgeable person about audio description streaming, but on DVDs. DVDs are still out there, and broadcast television. I know that he and Kim are part of the Disability Advisory Committee for the FCC. I served two terms on it, but Kim is now a co-chair of it, and they're it's so great to have consumers of description, people who are knowledgeable about description, working with the FCC to encouraging them to build their focus on description. So we have, in fact, more description in media and better description in media. I know that's dear to the Kim's heart and Carl as well and others on that committee. It's not enough to just get some words there on the secondary audio program channel. It has to be done well. Mm-hmm. Because sometimes when people are they jump in and just sort of doing it off the top of their head, and it gets to be too much. It can be distracting. Mm-hmm. There's nothing worse than bad audio description. And sometimes, sometimes in training, Tabitha, I'll say, perhaps no description is better than bad description. If somebody listens to it for the first time and it's just too wordy, they're covering over things that people need to hear. It's just distracting then, and makes for a difficult experience. So anyway, media is, it all started in performing arts, but once we got the toehold on broadcast television and then movies and then streaming DVDs and such, I knew we would see an explosion in interest in description across the board, because media reaches just so many people. I think that gave rise to the increase in description available in museums. Why not? People heard about description for television. They experienced it. why shouldn't a museum be accessible to people with low vision, people who are blind? And museums have picked up on that. The National Park Service has picked up on that in a significant way.
Yeah.
It's coming along, maybe a little more slowly than we'd like, but it's coming along. There was a time when, a museum didn't have audio description, and museums didn't have, all they had were a lot of signs that said, please do not touch. And so, what was there for someone who's blind? How did they even get around? Well, audio described tours help them do that now, and museums, all aspects of cultural life need to be available, accessible. There's just no reason why a person with a physical disability must also be culturally disadvantaged. Mm-hmm. So museums are coming along too.
And just something you said earlier about doing both the Training Institute and the AGP conference virtually has really given us a chance to expand the number of people that we reach.
Oh.
And also thinking, last year's AGP conference, we had a couple, I think they were both sort of your panels that you put together. They were very
right.
International.
That's right.
In scope. So we had, researchers and advocates and people working in audio description from multiple continents, Europe, New Zealand. We've got
Australia.
We know someone in Australia who's doing a Beatty-like program out there.
Yeah, that's kind of like an outgrowth of our Beatty program, a very direct outgrowth of the Beatty program. We've kind of gone international, and it exists in Australia and that whole Australasian region.
Yeah. So I think that's, a really exciting thing that, we are obviously the American Council of the Blind, and we do a lot of stuff in the U.S., but we do have these contacts and a network.
Yeah. In fact, I'll pick up on that, Tabitha. One other project that we had just 2 or 3 years ago, I guess, maybe 4 years ago, was a partnership with the World Blind Union. We did a survey of the extent to description and the kind of audio description that's happening around the world. And we learned that there's some kind of description in 70 countries. Now, issued a whole report on that. The World Blind Union also partnered with ACB, co-sponsored, co-published the Spanish version of my book, The Visual Made Verbal, which is an ACB publication. It's available now in 7 languages, as well as Braille, as well as an audiobook from the Library of Congress. So I like to tout that because I feel real proud of that. Working this year on a second edition, because it's, golly, we put that out 10 years ago. So it's time to kind of revise a good bit of it, I think. And indeed, speaking internationally, we have, I don't think you know this yet, Tabitha, because I think we've got about 20 or 25 registrants already for the April Audio Description Institute.
Oh, that's
great. And they're from 7 countries already, which I think is already the most we've had before at an institute. Mm-hmm. It includes blind folks as well as sighted folks who want to get in on description as a career, that sort of thing. So, we're getting out there. And I know that international aspect is near and dear to your heart, Tabitha, because Tabitha has been a professor in Dubai and in the UK, in the UK or Scotland. I'm trying to remember, but you've been around.
Been around the block a couple of times.
Been around the block a few times.
Yeah.
As have I. And I presented on description or done description or trained describers in 60 some countries and over 40 states now. So, and that just goes to show how old I am, basically. That's over 42 years. So anyway,
I think we should just all be jealous of those frequent flyer miles.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. They do stack up. That's right. That's right.
We just need to organize our next institute on Antarctica so we can say that we've done it on every continent.
I will research that. I will research that. What is the data on the prevalence of blindness in penguins? I don't know. I don't could we'd have to learn how to speak penguin though, Tabitha. I think I don't know, that might be tough.
Well, but you know, if it get, I can't think of another reason that I'm going to get to Antarctica. I would dearly love to get all the continents.
So, I'm with you there. I would love it too. But and there are some permanent bases. I think mostly scientific folks or researchers there.
We could go collaborate with them on creating audio description for their videos.
Listen, why not? At least that, because you know, you make me think though. I always talk about audio description. Its primary audience is folks who are blind or have low vision. That's where it all came from. But it has been shown to be quite important in making media, especially accessible to folks on the autism spectrum, people with ADHD, people who are learning English or learning any particular new language new to them. You know, they hear increased vocabulary, they hear similes, they hear synonyms. It helps anybody really build their literacy with respect to the language that description is in. And in fact, you know, there have been any number of studies that actually prove captioning is an assist to speakers of other languages learning a new language. I'm sure the same thing happens to folks who are listening to audio description regularly. We need to have a couple studies that kind of give us the foundation for making that statement, basically. And I'm sure we will. That's another aspect to all of this that's built up over the last, I'd say 20 years in particular, is the study of audio description academically. Most of it happens in Europe. And the reason for that, I think, is because it has been embraced academically, scholarly, as a kind of translation. It comes under the rubric of audiovisual translation. And indeed, my own PhD is from the University in Barcelona, the Universitat Autonoma de Barcelona, because it's part of their study of subtitling, dubbing. These are translation functions. Most media comes from the United States in English. It needs to be translated and made available to speakers of other languages. And the audiovisual translation people about 15 or 20 years ago really began to embrace audio description. I went to Portugal and trained some of the leaders in those programs on audio description. And lo and behold, they springing up around Europe programs in audio description. You have people getting master's degrees, PhDs in the study of audio description. It has augmented the production of audio description throughout Europe and throughout the United States. So that's another aspect to audio description. It's the research function and the study of it that's relatively new and growing.
Mm-hmm. That, you know, as an academic, I'm obviously very interested in that as well.
That's right, sure.
But that does kind of lead me to the next question, because I am keeping mindful of time here. Sure. So I just want to ask you one or two more quick questions, and then we can open it up to our audience and see if anyone else would like to ask you a question. What might be some a hope that you have for the ADP, you know, over the next few years? Is, you know, you're obviously staying involved as a volunteer on numerous of the committees, but you know, what are your sort of, what do you wish to see for the ADP over the next few years? Is it
part of the function of the ADP really is to promote audio description, to advocate for more and better audio description, and you know, we've done that in respect to one. Aspect is the delivery of audio description via one's own smartphone. When you're at home watching a television show or a movie, when you're in the movie theater, you know, rather than having to fuss with a headset that may or may not work, we've worked with Spectrum Access, a part of Charter Communications, to develop a function of I should say a transmission system for audio description that goes through your own smartphone. And we need to do more to encourage the producers of film to work with Spectrum Access to make those films available, not just the audio description, but, you know, the captions can be made available that way, sign language interpretation, other language dubs in other languages. So that's something that I'm hoping the ADP can press on. We recently at one of the meetings talked about, I guess it was when we were talking about the conference coming up this summer, the idea of, you know, kind of taking a cue from our friends in Canada at Accessible Media Inc. in Toronto. They have a whole television program, a station, I should say, that is audio, everything on it is audio described. Boy, wouldn't that be great to have something like that in the United States, where we could not necessarily produce shows, but air shows that in conjunction with ACB Media, in conjunction with NPR, perhaps, shows that include an audio description track. Because, you know, golly, sighted people could listen to their favorite movies on that radio station, if you will. As we've done sometimes with ACB Radio, we've broadcast Christmas programs with audio description. We've actually produced description for some films and played the audio description track with the original soundtrack on ACB Media. We did that years ago in conjunction with VITAC, the nation's largest captioning company. We described four horror films. We did it as kind of like a Halloween present to everybody, and we broadcast the description of Night of the Living Dead and Nosferatu and a few others. So those are some other special initiatives that the ADP could tackle, certainly. The sky's the limit. There's lots of things we could still think of. It really, the imagination of everybody who listens to description and contributes ideas to the steering committee, and the steering committee members themselves coming up with all kinds of new things. I think there's plenty of room to grow.
Yeah, I will say at the beginning of of every year, the steering committee asks all of the different ADP related committees to submit their goals for. Right. For the coming year. So, I mean, I haven't counted from all of the various, I mean, we've got like, what, six or seven committees, I think? And
we got seven, eight, yeah.
All of them have multiple goals. So, we've definitely got quite a long to-do list.
Oh, yeah. And we will grow, no question. Yes. We've grown tremendously over the last, you know, dozen years or something. And absolutely, there's plenty of room to grow further.
Yeah. And what about you on a personal note? I know, like I said, you're staying involved. You're not abandoning us. Thank goodness.
No, of course not.
I could not do this job without, I call them the audio description brain trust is Kim and Carl and
right,
Joel and Fred and Timothy Nguyen, who does our daily TV listings and a lot of other interesting things. So I need you all.
Oh, but, of course.
I know that you have your own company that you do that you run, and you have your own work, and you mentioned you'll be revising your book for a second edition. What are some of the big projects that you've got on your to-do list?
Well, yeah, Audio Description Associates LLC is my company, and we do a focus really on description for private entities that are making their films and videos accessible, museum exhibits, making them accessible. And I personally probably focus most on training and speaking on description around the world. So I've been blessed to have that grow each year over the last 25 years that I've been doing it through my own company. So that's always there. Indeed, a second edition of my book, The Visual Made Verbal, is really important, I think, to do. It's been 10 years since ACB published it, and it's so wonderful to have it available now in seven languages, but it's time for an update. And so I'm hoping that will happen over the next year. The other thing is You know, in my offices here in the Washington, D.C. area, I have collected, well, 40-some years of information about audio description, tapes, VHS tapes, DVDs, electronic files, books, papers, scripts. There's a lot of material coming out of all those years of working with description. The history of description and the papers from Gregory Fraser, who was one of our pioneers, who had been based in California, the Fanstiels, Margaret and Cody Fanstiel, their works. And I have access to a lot of that material. And I'm hoping that we can actually develop an archive, an audio description archive. It's in the talking stages right now with George Mason University here in the DC area to actually be a place where that can be stored, it can be researched, it can be digitized. Mm-hmm. And indeed, we're shooting for, let's see, 1 year from now, spring of 25, George Mason is looking to have a full semester course in audio description, and go from there in person here in the Fairfax, Virginia area, but also online, I think is something we're shooting for. I know the University of Illinois is toying with that idea as well. So getting more academic and scholarly involvement in the United States is something that I think we need to do, because it's not just audiovisual translation. You know, it has implications for disability studies, for the study of theater, for the study of media, visual art, English. It's all about words. So it's really kind of an interdisciplinary concern. And I think we're going to see more of that in schools, including film schools, I hope, because, you know, film producers grow up, they go to school to learn how to make a film, and that's where their focus is. And post-production hasn't been, that's where most description happens, that hasn't been on their radar as much. So we need to get it more visible among the folks who actually produce film. And theater, actually, too.
Right. So no rest for the wicked is what you're saying.
There you go. So, that's right. That's right.
That all sounds really exciting.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm only 39 years old, Tabitha. Come on, right?
I know. I heard.
Right. Me and Jack Benny. Anyway. Yes.
My grandpa, too.
There
when
you
I
go.
Was 12, I was very confused. But now that I am 39, I understand.
Yeah. We're all 39. Yes. Exactly. We're all stuck at 39. That's right.
Well, you will definitely have to, you're staying involved as a volunteer on the committee,
absolutely.
So you know we'll be in touch, but we'll definitely need to get updates from you periodically. I have to admit, the archive just sounds really
I'm hoping
so
that
exciting.
Could take off. Yeah,
be great. So thank you so much, Joel, for the history lesson and the glimpse into the misty possible future.
Yeah,
we do have about, I think, 12 or so minutes left, and I've spotted a couple hands.
Ray,
do you want to get us started with questions?
I would be happy to, Tabitha. You have two hands, so I definitely think we can get these. So, Deanna, you can unmute.
Oh, sure, Deanna Noriega, yeah.
Yeah.
We know Deanna.
Yeah.
Oh, yes, we do.
Okay, there we go.
Well.
There you are.
Yep. Well, I was curious to know how you think that AI and translation with AI will impact audio description, because it gives us a way to get things like your book distributed in a new way internationally. Electronic files are so amazing anyway, but it's interesting to see what, say, like Be My Eyes has done with their AI describer.
No, you're absolutely right. You know, description, audio description, or description, I guess, without the audio there, I don't know, has been around since prehistoric times. And I refer to it really as kind of an informal audio description. You know, what does this look like? Telling a sighted person, you know, what you were doing last night. Sighted people use description all the time. Be My Eyes and Ira have done such wonderful work in helping people, you know, at the grocery store, traveling from this place to the next place, with volunteer describers, or Ira, I think, has paid describers, or I don't know if they're, are they describers or assistants in a way. Audio description as an art form that we teach for media is more involved. There are best practices, guidelines that have been developed, and AI in being used for media, mainstream media like films and television programs, I don't think it's quite there yet as far as the voicing of audio description. It's not a matter of just having a voice that sounds human. There have been great strides that way. It's more than just sounding human. It's what does the human do with a trained voice talent? What does that person do with their voice to make meaning, inflection, pause? Do they know the whole film? Because the way you voice something in the beginning may be determined on what's going to happen ultimately at the end. And that, I'm not sure AI has been able to, speech synthesis basically, is quite at that level just yet. But they're also exploring, and it, on a rudimentary level, computers can now look at a picture and tell you in a very basic way what this is. But for moving images, you know, it, not only is it important to know what it is, but how is it happening? And so there are elements, there are places to grow, I think, for AI, certainly in the crafting of audio description, but even in the voicing of it as well. Great question, Deanna, and that's why we're going to explore it at the virtual conference that we hold this summer. We'll have one session on that.
All right, our next one, Margie Donovan.
Oh, my goodness. Hi, Margie.
Hey, Joel and Tabitha. I first want to really, from the bottom of my heart, Joel, thank you for all your years. I know you're not absolutely leaving us, but you have moved, it's AD, so far ahead. And as a person who loves and benefits from audio description, at least in live theater, I really want to thank you. And I absolutely believe in the two committees I've worked on and working with Tabitha, that we are in excellent hands, and we are very blessed to have you on board, Tabitha.
Oh, you're so kind.
And we need more wonderful advocates for audio description like Margie Donovan. I think you single-handedly have brought audio description to that whole Sacramento, Davis, California region.
I was going to say that, and you know, all of you out there listening, this is not about ACB to bring it to your community. It is about us as blind people and low vision people going to our theaters and asking for it. It's required under the ADA, and there are many of us out there willing to be role models and mentors.
Oh, yeah.
And I came to Sacramento from the Bay Area. There was nothing, and now there's a lot. And now we're extending out into another area, and it's really up to us. It's not up to ACB. And then I have a question. Joel, you mentioned the use of the iPhone.
Yeah.
And I'm concerned about this on two levels. The most important level to me is I have pulled my iPhone out during a theater event with the screen off, and my sighted partner says, you need to put that away. It's distracting. Mm-hmm. The lights show. And to me, if the lights of an iPhone with a screen off is distracting a sighted audience member, that's no better than having someone sitting next to you and whispering.
Yeah, no, you're right. You're right. And I think Spectrum Access has thought of that. And of course, it's not just iPhone. It's any smartphone, really.
Right,
it's available
right,
for Android right. as well as iOS. But there are ways indeed to turn that function off so there is no light coming from the screen. And they encourage you to do that if you're using Spectrum Access in a movie theater, because you're absolutely right. People that fire up their smartphone and it's glowing in a movie theater, that's extremely distracting. And not only that, you know, the movie theaters have been a little concerned because they're still very concerned about piracy. And, you know, mm-hmm. a smartphone has a recording function. Oh, my goodness. Mm-hmm. What's that person doing holding their smartphone up? Are they recording the movie? Well, again, using a spectrum access kind of feature, there are ways to simply turn off the recording function. If you're using it for audio description, you won't be able to record anything. So that's also been a concern. And we're working on both of those issues.
That's great. And as long as I'm on this earth, I am going to fight for human voiced audio description.
Bless you.
I sit behind the computer too much and hear too many Jaws voices and a voiceover, and there's nothing like the human experience. Thank you to both of you.
Thank you, Margie.
Thanks, Margie.
All right.
And Howard, do we have anyone in Clubhouse? I always forget about Clubhouse.
Let me check here. I forget I got to do that.
I'll make your life easier. We do.
There you go. Yeah, Herbie has his hand up. Yeah,
I see it. Yep.
All right, Patty.
Looks like you're done talking. So we'll lower your hand in 8 seconds.
All right, Zoom. Get over it.
And this will probably be our last question because I know we need to end bang on time. And we want to save ourselves a minute or two to say goodbye. So.
Patty, we're not hearing you.
Can you hear me?
Patty, we are not hearing you.
Let me check a setting here real quick. Then the setting
my end. Good.
Can you hear me?
Okay, now they can hear you.
Okay, can you hear me now?
Oh, yes.
Awesome. I was like, it says I'm unmuted. All right. first of all, what would you say? It would take so that when movies, TV programs, etc. are produced from the outset, that it would simply be part of the process to have an audio described track created and included from the beginning. What does that look like for the future? And how can we, as blind persons, make a difference in that arena? What are the steps to go forward to reach out to Hollywood, etc.?
Oh, wow. Patty, that's such a great
about it. So show
you
me.
Bet. You bet. That's such a great question. You know, on the website, we have.
I'm tired of it being an afterthought. I want it to be built in.
That's right. You're absolutely right. And we call that integrated audio description, to just throw a phrase at you there. On the website, we have contact information for film producers, for the television networks. You're right. We need to do so much more at making them aware that there are millions of folks out there that want description, that need description, and they need to be focused on it to a greater extent. I mentioned film studios developing courses in description. Boy, Patty, this is so important for film students to know how they can incorporate description from the get-go. There's a group in New York, used to be called Theater by the Blind, and they're called Theater Breaking Through Barriers now. I used to think, by the blind, they're going to have great audio description. Well, they don't have any traditional audio description because they build description into every theater production. Sighted people see and hear everything that a blind person sees, hears, whatever. And it's all the same. It makes better theater, actually.
The Greeks did it.
Right.
Think about the Greek chorus, even Shakespeare does.
Exactly. So, just one other thing, Patty, if you go on the online and look up Stevie Wonder's music video, So What the Fuss, there's an audio described version. He redid his music video with description. It's built in. And I cannot experience that video without the description, because it's so done so wonderfully and voiced by a friend of Mr. Wonder's, the rapper Busta Rhymes. So it's seamless. It's just part of the video. And that's exactly, I think, the kind of thing you're talking about, Patty.
And we one last very important question.
We're getting pretty close to time, Patty. So
it's very quick, and you can just kind of just throw this out there for later. But people tend to get emotional and ranting when they write letters. Can we talk about maybe in the future, including in one of the conferences that you do, education on how people can learn to write comprehensive, coherent letters about this subject?
Good point.
It's a great idea.
That's a great idea for ACD writ large. Yeah.
Yeah. AD Advocacy 101, that sort of thing.
That's right.
Advocacy 101.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Well, that's a great note to close on, is, you know, just that positive sort of empowering. We can all get involved and be engaged.
We have a new director of advocacy and governmental affairs, Claire Stanley, who's just wonderful. And boy, let's make sure she hears about that. She'd be a great advocacy 101 instructor.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you so much, Joel, for this wonderful conversation for ADP in conversation.
Oh, you bet.
Wildly appropriate to have you here. And thank you everyone for joining. And as we say in my official advocacy department, keep advocating and keep describing.
All right.
Thanks, Tabitha. Thanks, Ray.